Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. That part of the word of our Lord that which I would invite your attention in our moments together this morning, 2 Thessalonians, there from our epistle lesson today. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, may he encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and work. So far, the reading of our text. You may be seated. It's a joy to be together and to focus on the word of our Lord. And as we begin these moments to reflect on his word and think about this application to our faith and our life, I certainly ask the blessing of the Lord upon our mutual consideration and thought, and that the Spirit give wing to the words that we're about to share into all the places where our feet hit the ground in our daily lives of faith. I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. In thinking about what the message might be today, some time ago, in our daily devotion, a story came across that kind of stuck in the back of my mind, and I'll share that, and that will get us under motion here. The story is that there was a man one time who was going to, during the course of the events of his day, attend the funeral of a friend. He had a very busy schedule that day, and it was not really going to work for him to do the whole thing, so he thought, I'll go to the service, and when they go then in the procession after the service to the cemetery, I will step out of that and get on with my busy day. And so things went well, and at the end of the service, he climbed into his vehicle in the parking lot, and there was a funeral attendant and motioned him to drive this way. And so he did, and then only a few moments later, to his chagrin, did he realize he had been unwittingly put in the procession, and there he was. And he thought, well, I can handle this. As a matter of fact, I will go by a large mall, and I'll just pull into that and get out of the funeral procession, and things will be fine. And so it happened, and he pulled into the parking lot of the mall as they were going their way, and only when he began to back up and looked in his mirror to back into the parking place did he realize that there were a line of cars behind him. They had followed him. They had followed him unwittingly through no intention of his, and it's not even that he was doing something wrong. It was just that it was a situation in which, number one, he was a man now who was standing in need of encouragement for sure. And he also was a man who understood in a way that probably had never dawned on him before that unintentionally, oftentimes other people follow what we say and do. Now, this probably is not a story that ever happened, for goodness sakes, but those behind followed. And all of us in our faith and life have those who pay attention to things we say and do. And would to God that we would be encouraged when we mistakenly lead someone. And would to God that he would grant us the strength and the vision to see that we have opportunity to be an encouragement for other people. And it seems to me that as Pastor Sean read moments ago about the life of Moses and Moses' call in the wilderness, that there stood a man who was in need of encouragement, the encouragement of faith, and also one who stood in need of encouragement for getting on with life and having a reason and a purpose for getting on with living. We look back to that, and I hope that we see ourselves in that same spot. Moses was out in the wilderness. Moses had, he was kind of literally out of touch, because you may recall that even as he grew up in Egypt, in Pharaoh's household, he had stood up for a fellow Hebrew who was being beaten. And when he stood up for him and took on the man that was beating the fellow Hebrew, he ended up killing him. And that, of course, put him at odds immediately with the Egyptians, and he had to flee. And it didn't help that much with the Hebrews, because then they took out what Moses had done on the other Hebrews. And so here he is out in the field, tending his father-in-law's sheep, certainly in need of encouragement. But the beauty of this is that God, in his love for Moses and for the children of Israel, for he was to use Moses to lead them out of the land of Egypt, that he came to Moses in this account of the burning bush. Well, that's amazing. The presence of God in a bush and a voice. In a bush that's on fire, but a bush that's not being consumed. And Moses reacted, I think, the way most any one of us would react. Like, what? The presence of God. And what the presence of God did for Moses was it made him respond to the gift of God's presence and the gift of God saying, Moses, I have need of you, and I want you to do this with your life. His response was, who am I? I can't do that. And it's almost a temptation to maybe chide Moses and say, my goodness, if God appeared in that way to you, why didn't you immediately respond, here am I, send me? Well, in Moses' behalf, and I think in ours, when we stand in the presence of God and in those special kinds of moments and times, whether it's around word and sacrament, whether it's at the new birth of a little one called Warren, it's very humbling to stand before the awareness of God in his majesty and power and glory, and it's pretty natural to suddenly feel somewhat inadequate and, yes, even sinful. But the wonderful message is that God, in his encouraging of Moses and his encouraging of us, takes our questions. I don't know about you, but who am I to do that has come out of these lips more than once in my life. And so often, like a loving parent, may we understand that God invites those questions and then gives us the answers that help. He said, I will be with you. I am. And as that popped up in the gospel lesson, that tied all the way to the projection of Christ through his life, death, and resurrection that brings us forgiveness of sins and also answers our questions. No loving parent would ever ask a child to do something to set them up to fail. Our God does not do that for us either, as he calls us to not only then be encouraged in his presence, but for the task he gives us. As we are encouraged, may we be an encouragement to others. And may he empower us with the presence of his Spirit and enable us, as we recall and think about those times and those people who have been an encouragement to us. If I was to ask each one of you, could you name someone who has been an encouragement for you during the course of your life? My guess is, by God's grace, you could answer more than one name. And I also would ask you then, when you think about the blessing that they have been in your life and the source of encouragement for you that they are, might you also realize that you could well be the answer when others are thinking about who's been an encouragement for them and it's been you? Sometimes we might not have the vaguest idea that we ever encouraged anybody by something we said or did, but we've done it. And it seems to me this call of God to Moses, he's not calling us to lead the children of Israel out. He's calling us to take the next step in our life of faith and to be, I would suggest, an encouragement to others. And as we are sensitive to others and their needs and their opportunities that we might help them face, we walk by faith that God is at work. And believe it about yourself. He is, for he is present in you and through you and touches others with you. At times we don't see how that works, and at times we get discouraged ourselves. But then one needs to understand that faith is a matter of trusting. In years gone by in confirmation class, when we would get to talk about the difference between belief and trust, one of the illustrations I like to use is people will believe, but then they need to trust the Word of God and what His presence is doing and how He's being there for you. In just this way, if you can picture in your mind's eye the Niagara Falls, and someone stretched a tight wire across the falls from the Canadian to the American side, and a large crowd gathered because someone was going to walk on that tightrope across the falls. And so the question of the man who was going to do that, "Do you believe I can do that?" And everybody said, "Yes, we believe you can." And so he did. And he went across the falls unscathed. And then when he got to the other side, after everybody was cheering about it, then his question to the crowd was, "Do you believe I can do that blindfolded?" And they all cheered and said, "Yes, we believe you can do that blindfolded." So he put a blindfold on and he did it. And they all cheered. And then he said, "Who of you believes that I can do that blindfolded with a person on my shoulders?" And they said, "We believe that you can do that." And then you're probably already a jump ahead. His question was, "Who will get on my shoulders?" And the crowd grew quiet. The difference between believing and knowing and then trusting is just that. And isn't that what our Lord has done for us? That encourages us that we, in not a literal sense, but certainly a figurative sense, rest upon His shoulders. And then we rise above the situations of life, and we can, in fact, be a source of encouragement to others to face the challenges, not only of that, but simply the challenge of being a Christian in this day and age. That came across, too, also in the gospel lesson that was read, I believe, when the purpose of those who were questioning Jesus was to discredit him. To give him a question he couldn't answer. And so they would belittle him and say, "See, he's not who he is, and we don't have to pay attention," etc. Brothers and sisters, we live in that era right now as well. Almost at times seemingly to have to apologize for a Christian belief and value. Of facing those who would like to discredit that and say that it is of no account. We need then, as we are encouragers, to face those challenges and to see in the challenge an opportunity. A lot of times a question will be asked of someone, "What challenge are you facing?" And a lot of times they take that in immediately a negative direction, like the tough thing I'm facing. We face that. But we also see a challenge as an opportunity for an encouraging word and example for others around us. And so as we live, may, like the man that took off in the parking lot, understand that we have an impact on others, and may God bless you as an encouraged Christian. You are an encourager to others. It's who we are, and it's what we do. God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. And now may his peace guide and guard our hearts, both now and forever. Amen.